بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، ما بعد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني في قولي، اللهم انفعني بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We hope everyone's well, inshallah ta'ala. We have, mashallah, a very beautiful section to go through for Surah Hud today, inshallah. It is the part right after the Day of Judgment, that right before this we heard about the what's going to happen at in the future, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He showed us a glimpse of the future. This is the idea of being a prophet, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all the previous prophets, their job was to show people as a prophecy of what's going to happen. So we were literally taken as in a step toward into the future to see what's going to happen. And so it's an amazing thing that we have in our Quran, the reality of what's going to happen right after everyone dies. This is something that no religion can really comment on in the depth, you know, in terms of the actual details that Islam has about the Day of Judgment, about the hereafter. Other religions don't have even a fraction of this. I'm telling you, as a person who's researched this, we have so much depth into what happens in the hereafter compared to other people. So that's a step into the future. And Allah wanted us to see the end of the path that we're all embarking on. Because it's either that we are believers or disbelievers. We're either fortunate or wretched, right? We talked about it last time. The Shaqi will find that his path at the end is towards the fire of Jahannam. And the Sa'id, the fortunate one, will find that his path is towards Jannah. And Allah spoke about how it will be forever and for an eternity. And He spoke about how one is a wretched gift and one is a blessed gift, right? May Allah make us from the people that are the people of Jannah, inshallah ta'ala. Allow us to be on the right path till the day that we meet Him. So what Allah does now is, or what the surah does, it brings you back to the present. And that's what the Quran does. It moves you through history like that. It first took you to the past, then it takes you to the future. Then it brings you back to this world and says, now you're back in your body. You know, and that's why I meant from in the beginning, "Kitabun uhkimat ayatu thumma fussilat," is that the Quran has such important or consolidated so many strengthened messages, these strong messages. And so then it explained how Allah takes you all over the world to explain His messages to you. So sometimes He'll take you to the deserts, sometimes He'll take you to the oceans, sometimes He'll take you to the stars, sometimes He'll take you to the skies. Sometimes He'll take you to see the camels. Sometimes Allah will take you to see the bees, right? You know, so Allah will take you all over. And sometimes He just takes you through time. It says, go to Nuh, go to Hud, go to Salih, alayhi wasalam. And Allah will show us throughout history what's happened. So He just wants us all to connect it all to ourselves and to put this message within ourselves and internalize it to see where we are going to take our own lives. So Allah brings us back to the present, and now He's going to tell us what we need to do, okay? It's about seven verses, seven extraordinary verses that are going to come up now. There are five stories in the surah, the five full stories, the stories of Nuh, stories of Hud, Salih, Lut alayhi salam, and Shu'aib alayhi salam. There were seven prophets, and you can actually connect these next seven verses with these seven prophets. I'm not going to do that for another reason. I want to just show you how these five stories are being reflected on within these next seven verses, okay? And it's remarkable. It's not something a human being can do. Okay, I'm going to tell you what Allah is going to do. He's going to handle these prophets in reverse order. Okay, it would have been impressive if I was writing a story and I was, you know, giving you like a narrative. I wrote like an amazing story, whatever, about, you know, Shaquille's life or something, and then I wrote the story up for you. You know, I could probably, like, you know, I could tell you, okay, this part related to my childhood, this part related to my adolescence, this part related to the day I got married. You know, all this stuff. I can probably link it, you know, in sequence going forwards. What Allah will do right now from these next ayat, you're going to see Allah to handle these prophets backwards. It'll make sense when we get there. It's extraordinary when you see it. Okay? So the first verse that Allah wants us to focus on is a shift of mentality. فَلَا تَكُوا فِي مِدْيَةٍ مِمَّا يَعْبُدُ هَؤُلَاءَ مَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَعْبُدُ أَبَاؤُهُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ وَإِنَّا لَمُوَفُّهُمْ نَصِيبٌ غَيْرَ مَنْقُوسٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so do not be in doubt about what they worship. They worship only in the way that their fathers used to worship earlier. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us not to be in doubt. The first thing that Allah wants to clarify before anything else of practice is the concept of belief and ideas. is that when you and I are thinking about disbelievers or whatever path they're walking on, Allah has showed you directly what's going to happen. This path is leading to something very dangerous. You should not have any doubt about where they're going towards. What's it going to lead to? We're going to pay them their full share without any decrease. We're going to give them fully without decreasing in any measure. Their profits will be in full. So now it's either going to be punished here or they're going to be punished hereafter. What we saw with the people of Nuh, Hud, Salih alayhi salam, and every other prophet that was mentioned, that their people were punished here, or the punishment is waiting for them in the next life. May Allah save us from both of them. So you should not have any feeling in your heart that it's wrong. If you in your heart as a Muslim are telling yourself, oh, maybe these people are on haq, maybe they're on right, then I would like you to read again Nuh alayhi salam's story, or Hud alayhi salam's story, or Salih alayhi salam's story. These are the people who thought they were the greatest in all of civilization. They were the most advanced and sophisticated in their technologies. These are people that in our times, you would just call them superpowers. Don't have any doubt in your heart that these people are completely wrong. It should not come in any Muslim's heart that he thinks that a non-Muslim is doing it. La ilaha illallah, Allah protect us from that. The Quran, it really challenges us. How does it challenge us? The Quran earlier, we'll find that prior to this, just to give you an idea about this challenge, prior to this, in the surah, in Surah Hud, I'll show you the ayah in a second, that about the Prophet and the Quran, Allah told us not to doubt. Okay, really, when you reach the end of a surah, it's really cool to just go back into the beginning of the surah and see what Allah is connecting from the beginning. Okay, we've been through about 100 and something verses. I've been speaking to you for about 20, 24 days or so. It's been a long time. Okay, if you were writing the surah, I'm pretty sure as a human being, you kind of forget points, you kind of forget topics, you kind of forget ideas, you know. It's very hard to remember things. فَلَا تَكُوا فِي مِلْيَةٍ. Okay, this expression here about don't being in doubt came before in the surah. It actually came in ayah number 17. So, أَفَمَنْ كَانَ نَبِيٍّ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَيَتْلُهُ شَاهِدٌ مِنْ. The ayah basically translates to, if you remember it, you probably don't. I was going through it, so I'm going to help you guys. So, is the one who is upon clear proofs from their Lord, recited by a witness from him, and before the book of Moses, of Musa alayhi salam, as a guide and a mercy, these people believe in it. Allah Ta'ala asks a question. He says, are these people equal compared to the ones who deny the book, deny the truth of it, to deny it, right? And we talked about how this clear proof is the Quran, and the witness before it is possibly the Injil, right? The Bible before it. And then the book of Musa alayhi salam is the Torah. And so what we find is that the Quran has been verified by all the religions of the true religions of the past. They all were announcing the final messenger, and they all were affirming the text of the Quran, okay? And so these people believe in it. Allah says, are they equal to the people that deny it? And their place is the fire. You know, we just talked about a section about people going to Jahannam. And Allah Ta'ala right now in ayah number 17, he highlights that, you know, these people are going to the fire. So it's very interesting that later on, about 100 or so verses afterwards, Allah Ta'ala, he explains that this is their end and this is their fate. You know, it's really cool that the ayah number 17 was the ayah that we just spoke about, right? This one here. The ayah which talks about them going to Jahannam is 117. I'm sorry, 107. SubhanAllah. 17, 107. It's a very ajeeb thing. You know, I don't really like follow these numbers things, but it's just interesting where it like sometimes very well clicks. Allah Ta'ala knows best. فَلَا تَكُوا فِي مِدْيَةٍ. Ayah number 17 says, don't be in doubt about it. Don't be in doubt about it. The ayah that we're on also says, don't be in doubt about it. So one ayah said, don't doubt the truth. That's ayah number 17, the one we did before. And the one that says to not doubt about falsehood is the one we're on right now. So in one place, Allah said, don't doubt the truth. It's 100% clear. And another place, Allah says, don't doubt the falsehood. It's 100% clear that it's wrong. SubhanAllah. So it makes sure to catch itself that in one place you could have objected to the Quran and said that this place Allah should have clarified about falsehood too. So Allah Ta'ala made sure in the same surah to clarify about falsehood. So it's amazing how the Quran does that. Okay, mind you, it's 100 and something verses afterwards. Who can ever keep track of all those things? But the point of this ayah specifically is Allah Ta'ala challenges us the same way he challenges us to find a mistake in the Quran, find a fault in the Quran, find any issues in the Quran, and you can't find anything wrong with it. It only will make you accept it further. You'll get even more, you fall more in love with this book the more you research it and study it. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala says, go and look at these other religions and have no doubt that these people are following just a culture or tradition. There's nothing really grounded. There's nothing really founded in their religions. They're just following this or following that or whatever. It's nothing that's really firm. There's nothing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala tells us to go out and look. Okay? And so you should take it up one time. Just for your own happiness and your own confirmation. That look at these other religions and see what they actually have. They don't have much to provide for you as a Muslim. And you look at it and you will just become more confused. And you become more happy for what Allah has blessed you with from the time that you were born, mashallah. So look at these religions and see their sources. I've done it myself. And mashallah, you only become a stronger believer when you have this firm ground within Islam. And ultimately, Allah Ta'ala says, you give them their shares without decrease. So, فَلَا تَكُوا فِي مِدْيَةٍ. In the word, media in Arabic means to argue. Don't argue with them. Don't fight with them. This is not your job. It is not your job to judge them. It's not your job to fight with them or argue with them. Your job is not to judge, but to make dua. This is the prophetic way. The way of all the prophets of the past was to make sure to make dua for their people and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try their utmost best. If you tried your best, now leave the rest with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we're supposed to do here. So make dua to Allah. This is the prophetic way. And so we're not supposed to worry. We shouldn't worry. If we feel sometimes in doubt, this is what happens, right? Because Allah said not to doubt. And then someone would say to themselves, that wait, I do doubt sometimes. Sometimes my heart kind of feels uneasy. Sometimes I feel unnerving, you know. Sometimes I just feel really weird, right? Sometimes we're up. Sometimes we're down, right? This is what life is about. I want to let you know, or brother and sister in Islam, that it does not mean that you are a bad Muslim to have these feelings. It never would mean that you're a bad Muslim to have these feelings. This is a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which the Sahaba radiallahu anhu came and said, Ya Rasulullah, certain ideas come in our hearts or our minds that we would rather be burnt to ashes, right? We'd rather be burnt alive than to discuss them. These are such weird ideas that come in our hearts sometimes. And the Prophet ﷺ said, is this true? And the Sahaba said, yes, it's true. The Prophet ﷺ said, this is pure iman that you have. This is pure faith. And so it's very confusing. Why is that the case? Scholars have explained in two different ways. One of the ways they said that is that the fact that the Prophet ﷺ was saying that because you are having these doubts, it means that you are a Muslim because there's something to steal from you. Shaitan wouldn't bother a person who doesn't have faith. Shaitan will bother a person who does have faith. And so when you have these questions and ideas, know that a thief will only come into a house where there's something valuable to steal. Similarly, you have something so valuable in your hearts. So Shaitan is trying his best to grab it. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling the Sahaba, congratulations. The fact is that, mashallah, you have these feelings and you're fighting it is the fact that you are a true Muslim. And the second thing is that Sahaba were so uncomfortable to talk about it because they knew they were all fake ideas. In their hearts, they knew that these were wrong ideas, so why even bother mentioning them? That's also a sign of a person's iman, is that after a while, some of these doubts become so illogical and make no sense whatsoever. How about we just stop fighting it? How about we stop arguing? Because we know this is the truth. There's nothing else in life except this. And so it's not a sign of us being a bad Muslim that we have these ideas. In reality, it means that a person is alive. When you have ups and downs, when you're having, you know, that means the heart is beating. Okay? When a person is feeling good or feeling sad or having all these different conditions and situations in life, they're feeling all these different emotions. It means that you're alive, you know? So when someone says, like, I'm feeling all these things, and I mean it, after Ramadan, you're going to feel it. Ramadan, we have such a boost. You're feeling so amazing in Ramadan. Right after Ramadan, it's going to be a dip, okay? It is a sign that you're alive, okay? It's a sign that you're a Muslim. It's a sign that you're breathing and healthy, okay? Muslims' iman goes up and down all the time. There was one person who came to the Prophet ﷺ out of so much distress and anxiety. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I think I'm a hypocrite. He said, how? You know, and he actually, this man, Hanzala radiallahu anhu, Hanzala went to Abu Bakr first and told Abu Bakr that I feel like I'm a hypocrite. I feel like I'm fake. Abu Bakr said, why do you think you're fake? He said, it's because, you know, I am with the Prophet ﷺ and I listen to his talks and I feel like my iman is like, you know, I feel like I can see Jannah. You know, that's how he said, I could, Jannah ra'ya ayn, as if they were in front of my eyes. Jannah, Jahannam. It's like, this is how much iman I have. But when I go back home, I sit with my wife and kids and I just, you know, indulge in dunya and then I forget everything and I feel like I lose that feeling. So this must be hypocrisy in my heart. I must be a total fake guy. I must be a hypocrite. So he comes to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and Abu Bakr hears this. And Abu Bakr doesn't go and say, brother, stop. You know, brother, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, because he's a true Muslim. So he starts to think about himself. So he says, me too. You know, like, I'm also kind of like that. So then he actually gets worried about himself. So they both go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, We have these doubts sometimes. We have these feelings in our hearts. We're with you. Our iman is sky high. We come back to the world. We go back to sit with our kids, and we feel back to normal. Is this not hypocrisy? Is this not being fake? The Prophet ﷺ said, if you guys were ever able to stay on one level of Islam, like one level of faith, the Prophet ﷺ said that it would have been that the angels would have come and give salam to you. Because your iman, your faith would have been like the angels. Because angels, you know, their belief is what? Is exactly the same. Every single moment of life, every single moment of their existence. So if this was the case for you, then it would have been what? That the angels would have come down and give salam to you, because you would have been an angel too. But the Prophet said, look, there's a time and place for everything. So a Muslim should never get upset that in Ramadan I did so much and now look at me, where am I now? No, you're a human being. It means you're alive, you're breathing, you're a good Muslim. Just keep working and just keep building. Okay, don't let yourself get chopped down. Okay, and so these verses are to console the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How so? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being told that don't worry. These people here, the haqq is clear, the truth is clear, the falsehood is clear. They have to make their own decision. Their reward is not on you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The reward is on me. It's on Allah subhanahu wa taala. So Allah ta'ala tells everyone along with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That look, if you did your job, you gave the message, what else could you do? Don't worry about him like that. This actually relates to Shu'aib alayhi salam. If you saw, Shu'aib alayhi salam reminded his people over and over and over again, this almost sounds like a business, it sounds like something about profits, you know, profits and loss. And this is all about Shu'aib alayhi salam's people. They were businessmen. So in this ayah, Allah ta'ala says, they will receive the reward in full without any decrease, any loss. And Shu'aib alayhi salam says, "Baqiyatullahi khayrun lakum in kuntum mu'minin." Whatever remains with Allah, whatever profits you have with Allah is better for you if you are believers. So this ayah is actually connected to Shu'aib alayhi salam's story. Let's keep going. So first story, the first ayah relates to Shu'aib alayhi salam. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ فَاخْتُلِفَ فِيهِ وَلَوْلَا كَلِمَةٌ سَبَقَتْ مِنْ رَبِّكَ لَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَفِي شَكٍّ مِنْهُ مُرِيبٍ. Thereafter we gave Moses, Musa alayhi salam, the scripture, the Torah. It was differed upon. The second source of doubt that could come in a Muslim's heart, or even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we're talking in a hypothetical, of course, the Prophet has no doubts. But Allah is speaking to him in a way that to make sure that every Muslim recognizes this, that you and I would say that our Islam is so clear, it makes so much sense, and this Quran is so clear, this book makes so much sense, it makes sense of everything. Why wouldn't people follow it? Allah is reminding every Muslim out there that it's not your book's fault. It is not the Quran's fault. It is no one's fault here. It is a book like the Torah. And the Torah is described, because we just saw the scripture, Musa alayhi salam, right? It is the Torah. What is the Torah like? Allah describes it in the Quran, Rahmatan wa imaman. Allah described it as a mercy. Allah describes it as a guide. Wa maw'idatan likulli shay. It is an advice for everything, every single moment of life. There is an example within the Torah. And Allah Ta'ala says, tafsila li kulli shay. Within the Torah, there's an explanation of everything. Tafsila li kulli shay. Okay, it also comes out for the Quran as well in another area. But the idea is that Allah is describing the Torah in one way, and he's saying the Quran is also like that. Okay, even though Musa alayhi salam got this resoundingly, unbelievably clear book, people still differed on it. Okay, and you have a man like Musa alayhi salam. And I explained this last time we spoke, that if Musa alayhi salam was in front of you, his charisma, his power, his strength, you would just follow this man because he's a man to follow. You have a man like Musa alayhi salam with an amazing book like the Torah, yet people are still disagreeing about it. This is just the reality of life, okay? Even his own followers disagreed. And if you want to know what they saw, they literally saw everything. Okay, you and I, mashallah, we have you have really good iman. You're believing without seeing. That's what it means to believe, right? It means to believe without seeing. You're convinced of the proofs, and you are believing, mashallah. The fact is, Musa alayhi salam's people saw amazing stuff. What did they see? They saw the snake, you know, the staff turned into a snake. They saw the shining hand of Musa alayhi salam. They saw the sea split in front of their eyes. They saw when they angered Allah ta'ala, lightning came down and killed people. You know, they saw amazing stuff, okay? They saw so many things. You would think after this, you would become a true believer. But even then, his own followers disagreed. Because it's not the point of people following their rationality or their intellect. It is a point of people, they're getting stuck on their arrogance. Okay? وَلَوْلَا كَلِمَةٌ سَبَقَتْ مِنْ رَبِّكَ لَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Allah Ta'ala says, if it wasn't for a single word that had proceeded from your Lord, judgment would have been decreed between them. And وَإِنَّهُمْ لَفِي شَكٍّ مِّنْهُ مُرِيبٍ. And they are surely in complete doubt concerning it. Okay? Allah does not break his promise. This is the thing. Allah is telling the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he tells every single prophet that, look, it's not your fault. There's nothing wrong with your book. Nothing's wrong with Islam. Islam is a perfect religion. Everything is fine. The fact is that everyone deserves their time. Allah does not break his promise. Okay? This is how life is. Everyone is given their chance. Everyone has a moment in this life to make it or break it. And so if they want, they can worship Allah. If they want, they can do whatever they want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not like Allah is not watching. It's not like Allah is not doing anything. Kulla yawman huwa fi sha'an. Every single day is a magnificent day for Allah. Allah does so many things every single day. You know? And so Allah is watching. It is the example of the master. Or the master who sees his servants working on the field. And he sees some of them who are doing the right thing. And he sees some of them who are destroying the field. And so he watches everything. And some of the servants see their master. And so they're aware that he's watching. So they don't do anything to disturb him or to bother him. So they do their work properly. And there are other people who are on the field who are totally screwing up everything and destroying everything. And he's watching everything. And they're looking at him. And he's looking at them. Yet they're pretending like he doesn't exist. Okay? So finally, at the end of the day, when they destroyed everything, they caused so much carnage, he calls them back home. And then he says to both of them, he says to those workers that did well, those servants that did well, he says, I was watching you all day. You did exactly what I told you to do. I'm going to reward you greatly. As for you guys who thought that you could get away with everything, you thought I wasn't watching you. What made you do it? You know, and then he starts to question them, and then he takes them and he gives the punishment there. This is the example of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. That we see that Allah watches and he sees. It's not that Allah is not doing anything. It's the fact that there are appointments. Allah Ta'ala promised a certain time, and everyone has their appointment time with Allah. It is a scheduled time for all of us. The same way we have appointments, doctor appointments. We have these types of appointments. We have meetings with people. Everyone has a meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's not going to change. And Allah Ta'ala says that this is the time I gave them, and I will meet them at that time. And then at that time, I will reward them, or I will punish them. That is up to me. That is my decision. What does this connect to? It connects to Salih alayhi salam, Shu'aib alayhi salam, then to Salih alayhi salam. They said, Ya Salih, قَدْ كُنْتَ فِينَا مَرْجُوًا قَبْلَ هَذَا. Salih, we had hopes in you before this. Do you ask us not to worship what our fathers used to worship? We have serious doubts that have disturbed us about the faith to which you are calling us. In this ayah, Allah says there are people that have serious doubts. Salih alayhi salam's people said the same thing to Salih alayhi salam. We have serious doubts. So we have Shu'aib alayhi salam, then we have Salih alayhi salam. Okay? So then we go up to ayah number 111. وَإِنَّ كُلَّا لَمَّا لَيُوَفِّيَنَّهُمْ رَبُّكَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ إِنَّهُ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. And so your Lord will surely give every individual their full due for whatever they have done, and he is completely aware of everything they do. He is completely aware of everything they do, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ensures everyone, all Muslims, and the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that you do not worry about people's rewards or people's punishments. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, myself, I will ensure everyone's rewards. Don't look at your family, don't look at your friends, don't look at anyone. Just look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We live Allah-centered lives. Our lives revolve around Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will reward us and he will give us. So Allah Ta'ala says personally, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your Lord, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's Lord, he will make sure to give everyone their rewards. Don't worry about that. Which prophet does this connect to? Connects to Hud alayhi salam. If you turn away, Hud alayhi salam said this ayah number 57. At the end we see, my Lord is a guardian over everything. He knows what people do, and he knows how much to reward every single individual. So this connects to Hud alayhi salam. So far we found Shu'aib, then we found Salih, then we found Hud alayhi salam. Mind you, the order is Nuh, then Hud, then Salih, then Lut, and then Shu'aib. Allah Ta'ala is handling each story backwards. And you heard a name in there. Don't worry, we're going to get there in a second, inshallah. Now, after Allah Ta'ala explains within three ayats how to fix our dhihn, fix our minds, and fix our understanding. Worry about yourself, deal with yourself, do what you need to do. Don't worry about other people's decisions. That's their decision. And their reward will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the punishment will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَاسْتَقِيمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ. Stand firm on the religion, on the faith that you have been commanded with. وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ. And as those who are, and also for those who have made tawbah with you, who have repented with you. وَلَا تَتَّغَوْ. And do not cross the limits. إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. He knows exactly. He is surely watchful what you do. What this means is, and this is such a beautiful section, it relates so beautifully to the last part. Allah talked about people who are trying, that on the Day of Judgment, there are people who are harvested and people who are standing, right? Then Allah tells us literally, fastaqim, try your best to stand. Istiqama literally means a person who's trying their best to stand, to trying to get up, right? And so in life, we're all just, what are we doing? We're all trying. There has to be some effort. You know, you're not even the result. Allah knows what's going to happen. Allah knows exactly what's going to happen. The fact is that you and I are responsible for this effort that we put behind it. How much effort did I put in? Did I really try? You must try. Allah that has said, fastaqim, as best as you can, try your hardest to stand. Try your hardest to stand as much as you can. We're all weak. We're barely able to, you know, we're like babies, really. We're all crawling right now. Allah that says, try to get your feet up and so you can stand up. Try to stand like how? Like every single day and every single moment, try your best to just move closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what life is about. Every day that goes by is another day in which we're getting closer to the appointment time with Allah. So every moment we're just getting closer and closer to Allah. If that's the case, then at least if I'm getting closer physically, you know, in terms of my death day, then I want to get closer spiritually. So I want to get closer every single day as well. So I'll make my dhikr, I'll do my ibadah, I'll do my salah, and I'll try every single day. That's what Allah told us to do. Try your best to stand. Like how? Like this, these prophets, alayhimu salam, that every single day they stood up. You have to have the courage to stand. If you give up now, if you decide to say, forget it, I don't want to try, I just want to abandon it, then whatever, on the day of judgment, you're going to have to deal with that consequence. That's your decision. But if you decide to stand, Allah Ta'ala says, I have these amazing people of the past that on the Day of Judgment, you will stand with them. The Prophets, ﷺ, they stood up every day. Every day their people cursed them and slandered them and made fun of them and hurt them and abused them. Yet every single day they came up again and gave the message of Islam. You have to stand and you have to have the courage to stand. No matter what's happening in the world, no matter what evils people are saying, you have to be the one to say the truth. It cannot change. It cannot be that you gave up and you said, you know what, let me just follow these people. You know, stand up with the truth. You will be fine. This Allah does promise to you. وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ And whoever makes tawbah with you. Okay? Well, sometimes what happens is we look at the people that haven't made tawbah. We look at them and say, man, they need to make tawbah. Like, oh, man, they need to make tawbah. I look at this person, this guy, the Abu Jahl of the community. And man, I'm like, oh, man, I'm so concerned about him. It's exactly how the Prophet ﷺ, you know, really, it's the Prophet ﷺ is an example for us. That, you know, that one time where the blind sahabi came, and he was with the leaders of Quraysh. And so the Prophet, he literally just abasa. Abasa means to like your eyebrows kind of, you know, scrunch a little bit. So the Prophet showed a little bit like that. Just the beginning of frowning. That's what abasa means. So the Prophet showed that much. And Allah Ta'ala recorded in the Quran saying, O Prophet of Islam, that wasn't right for you to do. If a Muslim comes that wants to learn Islam, be a good Muslim, you have to give time to him. It doesn't matter about these kafiri and these non-Muslims, whatever. The Muslim is always more important in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we look at these big people. Oh man, if only Lady Gaga accepts Islam. Oh no, if only Bill Gates accepts Islam. Oh my God, you know, if Hulk Hogan accepts Islam. La ilaha illallah. Let everyone in the, mashallah, make dua for all of them. Don't stop making dua. I make dua for Warren Buffett like almost every day because I really like the guy. I hope Allah that gives him Islam. You know, these are good people. You know, we focus on the big people sometimes, but we forget about those actual people that want to follow. You know, all right, the halaqa has like six people. Mashallah, these are the greatest people in the world because they want to learn Islam. You know, like Allah Ta'ala loves these people. You think if he didn't love us, you think he let us sit here to talk about his Quran, to listen to the tafsir? So we look at the people that want to follow. That's what Allah Ta'ala says. Those people who made tawbah, look at them, help them, work on them. And so everyone makes mistakes. And this is why the ayah is so beautiful. It didn't say, you know, woman amana, and those who believe. Allah said woman taba, said that those people who made mistakes and those people who admit their mistakes, stick with those people, because those are the real people in life. I met a lot of people, you probably met a lot of people that are so arrogant, you're just like, how do you have this much level of arrogance? Allah forgive us, you know. But sometimes you're looking at them and just say, can you just admit you made a mistake? Can we just admit that? And so you'll find very humble people in life that will admit their mistakes. Allah says, follow, be with those people, stick with them. Because those are the community you want to be with. Those Allah's blessings are with them. It's going to come up the ayah about those people who made mistakes and they make tawbah. What is the reward? What does Allah Ta'ala do? It's coming up in the two ayats. Don't worry. The topic is all within one surah. They've already connected with Allah. When a person makes tawbah, they're connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. They've returned to Allah. Tawbah means to return to Allah. And so now they're back on the straight path. You have to be with those people. And so don't judge them. Don't look down on them. Don't disrespect him. Don't look in anything. وَلَا تَطْغَوْا means what? That don't go beyond the bounds. Don't say bad things about them. Oh, they're just small people. Oh, he's just a 14-year-old. Oh, he's just a 15-year-old. What is he going to do? You never know. This one little boy in front of you could be next, the next Khalid and Walid, or Abu Bakr, or Umar, radiallahu anhu. Or this girl in front of you, she could become the next Khadija, or the next Fatima, or Aisha, radiallahu anhunna. You know, we don't know. We should not disrespect any Muslim or look down on them. If they came to learn Islam sincerely, you help them and you cater them. And this is a reminder for everyone that if you want to learn Islam, you want to practice Islam, then go to the scholars and learn from them. Advance your faith, become a better Muslim, evolve yourself, develop yourself. You become so much happier when you learn. Wallahi, the more you learn, the happier you become. The more you become excited about Islam. If you want to go and fully go study it, then go ahead, Bismillah. Don't worry about what people say. We're not allowed to disrespect you. We're not allowed to look down on you. That's the command of the Quran. So who has your back then? Allah has your back. No matter if your family abandons you, Allah Ta'ala has you. So what do you have to care? Because Allah Ta'ala loves them so much. And so maybe one day they'll become the beacons of change. Look at Bilal radiallahu anhu, the man in Mecca. The people were looking down at him, disrespecting him because he was a slave. Now look at him, mashallah. Wherever the Prophet goes, Bilal radiallahu anhu goes. Wherever the Prophet needs the salah, gives the salah, lead the salah. Bilal radiallahu anhu is the one who gives adhan for the salah. Who gives the iqama? Bilal radiallahu anhu. Who's there for every prayer? Bilal radiallahu anhu. You get my point here? Is that the people that you think that are so lowly, Allah Ta'ala will exalt them in the eyes of the people and in the eyes of the world. He'll make them beacons of change. May Allah make us like that, inshallah ta'ala. This relates to Nuh alayhi salam. He says, and I am not the one who could drive the believers away. Okay? This story relates to Nuh alayhi salam. So literally backwards, the order again was Nuh, Hud, Salih, and then Shu'aib. Backwards we find Shu'aib, Salih, Hud, and then Nuh. Okay? To do this, mentally, after using about 100 or so verses, I think it's virtually impossible for any human to think like this. Okay? Allah Ta'ala knows best. I'm telling you, this is just a very superficial look at these ayat. There's even more you can go into. And I can even connect it to Surah Yunus, and you'd be so amazed as to how well the Quran is connected. It's not possible for a human to do these levels of connections. Tagha wa la tatghaw means to exceed bounds. One interpretation again was that when you look at Muslims, you do not look down on them. Don't exceed the bounds when you're looking at Muslims. The second thing is what? That you do not exceed the bounds. Do exactly what you're commanded. Don't do too much or don't do too little. In reality, tagada is usually used for water that is like over flooding or, you know, overflowing. So no one should brag about things that they're doing. When you are a good Muslim and you are praying and you're fasting and doing everything, you should not look down on people and start, you know, with the eye of contempt. Looking down at them saying, look at how good I am, look how bad they are. Look, I wake up for tahajjud, look at these people. I wear my hijab, this person doesn't do anything. Who are you? You are someone who Allah Ta'ala gave you a blessing. How dare you brag about it like that, as if you deserved it. We don't deserve anything. Allah Ta'ala gives us everything. We should always be grateful to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. If we do this, we look down on people, we have the possibility of invalidating everything we've done. Allah Ta'ala will reward us with zero on the Day of Judgment, and He'll give that person that we look down on everything. We should be very careful about bragging. And we should not overdo it for ourselves. This is a big danger, which the Quran tries to highlight. That if people, when they're practicing Islam, they should be careful not to overstep the bounds. Sometimes what happens is we try to do so much and so much and so much, we jump 100% into Islam. You cannot jump 100% into Islam. This religion is massive. The stuff in this Islam is so big. There's so much to do, so much to practice on. You take little by little, step by step, you stand up slowly, right? Do a little bit of iqama every day, a little bit of qiyam every day. Don't overdo it. If you try to practice 100% of Islam, you'll jump 100% out. I've seen many people try to come into Islam and they come in full power, everything, 100%, you know. They come in on their final form in the beginning. You're not going to get anywhere, brother or sister. Take it slow. Okay, mashallah, today you decided to, you know, at least like dress more modestly. Okay, subhanAllah, maybe tomorrow I'll start to do the hijab. Okay, maybe tomorrow, inshallah, I'll work a little bit more. Next day, you know, slowly you get up there. You know, Shaquille didn't start off wearing a turban, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just takes time. These things take time and should not overdo it. And that's why we go to scholars, because they'll help us understand the balance. Are we at that level yet? Are we at that stage yet? Are we ready for that yet? Maybe this Ramadan is the Ramadan where we can make that change, inshallah. And now we can become that person that we wanted to be as a true Muslim. Then go ahead and try it. But make sure you do within means. Don't push yourself too hard. Because the goal is, it's a marathon. وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا فَتَمَسَّكُوا النَّارِ وَمَا لَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءَ ثُمَّ لَا تُنْصَرُونَ. And Allah Ta'ala says, and do not take support from the wrongdoers, lest the fire should catch you. And then you will have no supporters other than Allah, and you will not be helped. Okay, this ayah is a very strong reminder. It is one of the strongest points in the entire Quran. وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا, never take support from the wrongdoers. Those people that oppress people, those people who do dhulm in the world. Okay, it's a very powerful ayah. So if we're looking at the ayah right before, it said, لَا تَتُغَوْا, don't exceed the bounds. وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا means don't go into the other side and pretend like Islam isn't a complete religion, or think this deen is wrong or something like that, or we need some help from non-Muslims, or we need help from these other institutes or these other establishments. We need help from these people, these oppressors, we need help from them. So Allah Ta'ala says, don't go to the other side. Don't become so strong on it and don't become too weak on it. Don't go to that side and start asking them for help. And this is our problem, and I see this everywhere I go for Muslims. It seems like Muslims always look at non-Muslims to see how we can establish themselves. In terms of our schooling, in terms of our education, we're always reliant on these other systems. We're not brave enough to start our own systems. You know, people are looking to even cut certain things of Islam. You know, they'll talk about homosexuality in a very weird way, ways that our Muslims of the past would never talk about. Well, they'll start to accept different communities and different groups because of the fact that we have to please these people in front of us. Or they'll, just to get a single position, they'll hold hands with all these weird people. And they'll start to do all these kumbaya and hallelujah and all these things just to make sure that we please these people. And so we as Muslims need to understand that there's no help in us in other religions. There's no help in us in other people. We Muslims have to establish ourselves without relying on anyone. Allah says, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا. How dare you rely on these people, the same people that are killing your Muslim brothers and sisters? How dare you rely on these people and think that these are the people of success in this world? Allah tells us as a very strong reminder, don't take anyone's support, okay? And so I encourage everyone to go. Like, we get our kids, mashallah, we send them to become amazing people, engineers, IT guys, maybe teachers, mashallah. They should come back and help the Muslims, you know? We should set up our own systems and we should provide for them financially. Maybe this kid, mashallah, became an engineer. He's very wealthy. Now, alhamdulillah, he has wealth to provide for the Muslim community, you know? And so if we decide that, you know what, we don't care. We just want to make sure that myself, my house, my individual life, I'm fine. And I don't want to help any Muslim. Forget about it. You know, they all can do whatever. Then at the end of the day, we're not helping anyone. Allah Ta'ala says, we're not doing anything. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, actually, that because we're taking help from these people, Allah says, you don't have any help from me. You won't get any assistance from me. If you're cut off from the power source, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't expect anything. And so even the point Allah ta'ala says at the end of the ayah, ثُمَّ لَا تُنصَرُونَ, then you will not be helped. You will never be helped. Those people that we were trying our best to please and make them happy and allow them to help us out as Muslims, what's going to happen is at the end, they're going to abandon us once they get the chance. And I've seen this so many times, it makes me laugh so much in my heart. I feel so sad at the same time. Like, I feel like all these weird emotions, because I've seen it multiple times where Muslims try their best to please these people. And at the end, all they do is just shoot them down, or don't let them be on the same party or whatever. Allah will protect us from that. Allow us that we only rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not miss the goal. Okay. Now, this in one way is about Hud alayhi salam. Because Hud alayhi salam, as you remember, he was alone against the people of Ad. So in one way, he was against the entire community, entire nation of the world. Hud alayhi salam is one way, because the name of surah is what? Surah Hud. So you could argue that this ayah is about Hud alayhi salam, but I would see it as Lut alayhi salam, because of the ayah that Lut alayhi salam actually says, "Awi ila ruknin shadid, tarkanu rukn." Same root, right? Lut alayhi salam said that if I only had the strength to stop you or rely on a strong support, right? How does this relate? Why was he singled out? If you thought about the order I told you before, you're probably thinking, wait, you mentioned Lut in the middle. Lut wasn't mentioned in this order. Sometimes what the Quran will do is it will take out one prophet and put him at the end because Allah wants you to focus on this prophet. So Allah will keep the order with every other prophet and then he'll take out one of them for you to examine him properly. Why was Lut alayhissalam singled out? It's because you have to think about him. In the moment, darkest moment of his life, where the people who of his community came into his house about to do this haram act in front of his daughters. Such a terrible thing they were going to do in the middle of his house. And this darkest moment where there's no one to look for help for, no one to find support in, anything. At that moment, he never gave up hope. He still relied on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You got to think about that. And you got to think about us and what we're doing. That we give up so quickly. Look at Lut alayhi salam. Even in that moment, he said, I'm going to rely on the strong support. I'm going to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is reminding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a deep way. There's going to be a time when they come to your house too, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you and I know when the Prophet was leaving Mecca and going to Medina, the Quraysh were waiting outside his house, ready to ambush him inside. Allah is giving him that hint, O Prophet of Islam, when that time comes, don't rely on anyone, just rely on me. Okay? This is how these ayats connect very beautifully to every single prophet. The sixth verse, inshallah, and the seventh verse will complete tomorrow. We have about two sessions left, tomorrow and Tuesday, inshallah. And then we'll be basically done. I think we'll be done with the surah by then. May Allah accept it and make it easy, inshallah, full of barakah and khair. Mashallah, we went through about 24 parts so far. I'm hoping, inshallah, Allah makes it easy so we can complete it, inshallah. And so please stay tuned, inshallah, for the next parts. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad. Wa alayhi wa sallam, Jain, Zakullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.